Title of this cassette, done on March the 2nd, 1975. Piece by piece, Galilee.
Questions about something, and when you question that reliance you have, and you say, I will express. And so we can see these disciples just acting as little children. But we can also see that the human side of them is just that we do not want to tolerate or think about or have on our mind something that we cannot completely understand. And so we throw it out of our mind. There are in fact some people who suffer from an emotional disorder in which they escape from the real life and begin to live their life of unreality, merely to escape from the truth of what life is. The one thing that they did not understand and were afraid to ask, perhaps they were afraid because of what Jesus said, someone delivering him into the hands of Peter. They were probably thinking in their minds and in their hearts, and maybe, it was one of them. Over the textbook figure, you recall how at the one time they were out in the boat, and Jesus came walking across the water, and Peter said, "Let's be with you, Lord," and he stepped out of the boat and onto the water and began to walk. When he realized what he was doing, he lost his faith and he stopped. Maybe he was thinking in his mind, "Well, just as I lost my faith once before, I'm just liable to do this again." Maybe thinking of peace. Maybe being peace. And I'm sure that if each one of them stood there, some of them with eyes down cast, not daring to look into the face of Jesus, because they knew that he could see within their hearts, "Your question is it me?" Or perhaps they looked at one another. They tried to detect in the face there of another comrade that this was the one who was being betrayed. How about Matthew? Matthew was tax collector. There were times in his life, I'm sure, before he became a disciple, that his greed overcame his better judgment, and he overcharged many poor people for their taxes. He didn't know if he had anything about it, because if they went to complain to the authorities, they made his tax even more, because his system was so corrupt. And so they kept their mouths shut, and tax collectors became wealthy because of this. Maybe Matthew was thinking in his heart, "If it do, Lord, that sometime my greed will overcome my better judgment again, and I'll be saved." How about Simon the Zealot, the man who belonged to that group who was of all purpose was to overthrow their enemies, and in particular the Romans? Maybe he was thinking in his part that he would become so zealous to overthrow all that was wrong and bad, that in point of judgment he would pass Jesus to his enemies. And I'm sure that Judas must have been standing there and thinking in his heart, "Can you really see what I believe and think and feel?" Perhaps the reason why Jesus drew him forward was that Judas would have second thoughts about what he was going to do, and that perhaps Judas would have another chance to change. In all of this, we see that they may not understand. Now all of these feelings and emotions are conjecture about these disciples, because we do not read this here. In fact, there's too little said, and too long a lot left unsaid. But what we do know is that there are men who did comprehend completely what their leader was saying. But when we realize in our lives what really did take place, we have almost 2,000 years of history and research into all of this. There's no need for us today to be able to say that I do not understand. And yet, strangely enough, many people still do not understand. They accept the interpretation, they accept the research that has been made, and in their own lives, they say, "I cannot believe." Many I will not understand. And I think this is important. It's not so much that I can't, it's just that I will. People say to me, I can't believe the story of salvation. Because it sounds too simple. It's too easy. It reads like a fairy tale. And it's unusual. People say to me they cannot believe. Because they cannot see God. Others say to me that it's too easy. That really we should have to get out and work. Do all kinds of things for our salvation. And so they're hung up on work of all kinds. Many will not believe. Because they say they're too far off. They're too great of a sin. The story is told of such a man in Sunday school time. Now on one occasion he talked to this minister and he said to him, I'm so troubled in my heart and in my soul because I'm so great a sinner. And yet I can't accept what you try to tell me the salvation really is. The minister asked him, do you believe that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins? He said, yes, I still believe it. He said, well, if you were here on earth and you met him, what would you do? He said, I'd run up to him and I'd fall on my knees and I'd say, Lord, forgive me. And he said, and what would you suppose Jesus would say? Man is silent. The preacher said in the verse in the 6th chapter of John, where Jesus says, he who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And now taking this verse and thinking as to what Jesus' answer would be, what would he say to you? He said, well, I believe that Jesus would say, I will. Forgive you sin. But he realized that this is all that it took. The man turned from being one who thought he could not be forgiven to one who can be forgiven. Now here's the lesson that the disciples had to learn. This was the lesson that they wouldn't understand. That really if they would have come to Jesus and they would have said, look, Master, I do not comprehend everything that you say. Would you please explain it to me? And I'm sure Jesus would have gone through a fun 5 points simply and earnestly and let them know what it was all about. And I think the same thing applies to us in our lives. We do not need to understand all of God's plan for all of us. Every day. We do not need to worry about what God wants to do for us. All that we need to do is to accept the free gift to be an offering and has offered to mankind for over 2,000 years. If your heart is troubled, you feel that you're in any one of these categories, like the disciples, and you can't understand what it's all about. But because you feel that you're not good enough for him, then just stop trying to fathom what it really is all about. You just accept him for what he said. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Be faithful to his promises. He understands us more than we understand ourselves. So we need to be unlike the disciples and understand and trust and seek him in our lives. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We recognize what he did was for future time. To get there in time when we can't comprehend everything that you want us to know. So Father, help us to realize that we do not need to understand everything. But that the religious test which just comes in the form of judgment of what we have done for him to his time. Therefore, that we may come to Christ in a new way this day. The gift of our hearts may be moved and changed. We may accept him, or you accept him. My faith and my love. Father, we thank you for him. We ask this prayer in his name, praying that he constitutes us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day thy daily bread. And forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debt. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of all things. Amen. the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father Almighty, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest in the body of Jesus, one, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Of a couple who were having marital difficulties, and
service all their pastorates for counseling and stuff. The pastor sat with them for a large portion of the evening and conversed with them about their troubles and problems. And then finally, happened to look and saw the chaplain, the dog lying by the fire. And he said, observe your pet lying there by the fire. Notice how they're not swallowing and fighting. And even though they don't see eyes wide, they get along together. And the husband said, yeah, that's right, preacher. If you try to find those two together, you'll see what happens. Just that way, a man who claims to be lost in his home will lie about other things as well. Now, I'll put that in just as an adult station for several fellows in our choir this morning. In our scripture, the authorities of the day, who were the Pharisees, came to Jesus with all purpose in mind. And you will see as you read scripture on from here on, that they came to him and their method or their purpose was to take a Christian. They wanted to trust him in his word. They were hoping that he would say something, or do something, or look at him and say, aha, we have him now, have him arrested, we have him stopped. And so they came to him and they asked him the question, whether it was right and lawful for a man to put away his wife, or to divorce him. And Jesus, playing his game, because he knew that they were bad. They were hoping that perhaps he would point the finger at work, the old man of the Lord, as John the Baptist did, and they would be serving Jesus as well. But Jesus said to them, what did Moses say about this? And he knows that the people were believers in the law, that they were firm believers in the Mosaic law, and so Moses put their authority that they went to. And so the answer that they gave is found in the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy and the first verse, which reads, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her again and send her out of his house. Now this is the way the law was written. Now in the Jewish religion, there were two schools of thought. The first school followed the rabbi named Shammai. Rabbi Shammai was a very strict, legalistic person. Therefore, he believed that there was no choice under any circumstances except for a God. Now the other school of thought was that of Rabbi Hillel. Rabbi Hillel was a liberal school. He believed that a man could divorce his wife if she burned a coat, or if she spoiled a meal, or if she went to the end of the street, or if she talked to another man in public, or if her husband disparaged her husband's relatives in front of him. Any little thing that the husband did, or the wife did, he could be divorced for. And because human nature is, all it is, the liberal side prevailed. And so it was relatively easy for a Jew to get what he was doing. And all that they needed to do was to open right up a simple little document, which read in very short wording, let him be from me, by gift of divorce, letter of dismissal, and deed of liberation. Thou wilt marry whatsoever man thou wilt. Then they advised this that they made it a little more elaborate. So they made it that a rabbi had to write this up. So the language that the rabbi would use, they made it just a little more specific. And it was on the blank day of the blank week, of the blank month, blank year, of the world, according to the calculations used in the time of plant, Jerusalem, set up and put away the light, daughter of light, and by whatsoever name thou art called, and until this present time, my wife. I send thee away now, of light, daughter of light, so that thou art free and thou dwellest with thy pleasure, marry whom thou wilt, and no one will hinder thee. This is thy letter of the day, and act of repudiation, certificate of separation, according to the law of Moses and of Israel. This shall be to be brought before three rabbis, who approved it, and then turned it over to the Sanhedrin, which was a group of lost people who were similar to Pilate, the Supreme Court. This is all that is spoken to judge the world. Now, from the word of this, you can readily see that it may be found that the man is going to write a very large statement that the wife could be divorced with the will or wishes of the husband, but the wife would not divorce the husband unless she really wanted to be divorced. And so, what Jesus was showing here was that the Mosaic law was laid down because of the hardness of their heart. And he was saying for the first time the part of women. Jesus was lifting the women from the role of being slaves and servants to that of being on an equal with men. For the first time, he devotes the back and forth and takes from the realm of whether it was lawful or illegal to the realm of the sanctity of marriage and the spiritual quality that this is involved. Next, Jesus raised the standard of these women from simply being used as property and then disposed of to being the people of God. And so, we would perhaps call Jesus in his own day the first woman's mother. Bill Sayers wrote about Jesus in his respect. He said, perhaps it is no wonder that the women who were first at the cradle and last at the cross, for they had never known a man like this man. There never was another. A prophet and teacher who never had the son, never flattered or opposed or patronized, who reduced the condescension, who took their questions and arguments seriously, who never acted out their fear for them, who never urged them to be feminine or fear to death or to be stupid, who had no axe to grind and no unseen male dignity to defend. He took them and he found them and were completely unself-harmed. There is no fact, no sermon, no parable in the whole gospel that borrows its pungency from people or virtue. Nobody could possibly guess from the words of Jesus of Jesus that there was anything funny about women's nature. We agree with that what Jesus said to these people. When he took us back to the first part of the Bible, the book of Genesis, he shared with them there the words of God, that a man and a woman are to be united and become one flesh. He said that from the beginning of creation, God made a male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And those two shall be one flesh. So then there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What Jesus was saying was that God's arithmetic is not exactly the same as ours. We say 1 plus 1 equals 2. God says 1 plus 1 equals 1. But Jesus was saying what the creation. When God first made man and then the man made woman, that there were two. And when these two came back together and united in marriage, they made one. Therefore, marriage was sacred. It was something that was founded. It was something that wasn't taken lightly by anyone. He was saying that this is simply a matter of privacy of marriage by the duties of boys. That all they had to do was step into the marketplace and wave a piece of paper and say, I divorce so and so, and he was free. Jesus was saying this wasn't right. But what Jesus was saying in this day is not the truth at all. For we see that two young people take marriage very lightly. It's something that is thought of in terms of parents, flowers, roses, and all of this other stuff. Too many young people think that marriage is being a girl dressing a white gown and pacing down the aisle of a church for the strains of love and then wedding work. And into the waiting line of a church farm. He's going to carry her up that same aisle and out the door to the church and make happily better after than an all electric fashion. But it isn't this. It's a reality. The distress of the alarm clock in the morning called the husband to the plant in the factory and the woman to the kitchen and the watch machine in the iron floor. The marriage is something that is taken seriously. The people are going to tell them before it's gone, so what do you want to talk? But in all of this places the controversy, just what did Jesus say about the boy? Is it legal? And why they are accusing him. When you ask this question, you must look at it from two sides. There are two points. The first is that this man seems about to be a completely literate, and we say that he does no support under any circumstances and messages of God. The other argument is that you look at Jesus and you put people where they are, where they were in an individual situation, and he's judgment on the merits of God. If we look at the story of Jesus and the woman of Samaria, at the well, you see the word of the woman with the man six times. And just what was Jesus' response to the woman? He realized that his response was that they're not condemning her. So I think we need to take a lesson from this. Stop the judging people in our lives and in our faith. But I'm not saying that we need to become all wishy-washy about this thing and say, oh well, if you two just have a funny squabble, if you can separate and get divorced and forget about it. No. I think we need to put marriage on the same basis as what Jesus would say to you. If you get married because you want to stay married, for no other reason. But marriage needs to be lived on a spiritual level. What Jesus was saying was that the ancient Christians were made for marriage, not merely for the institution. In other words, it's not all about the institution, you say it's invalid, but there are times and reasons for it. But I would feel in my own heart and in my own mind, there are times when the world is the only thing that can take place. When the wealth of the marriage has become impossible because of the unfaithfulness of one or the other, when this power makes living with a person, a daily feud of life or death, when the happiness of being killed is threatened by a man who becomes a brute with alcohol or drugs. And when a man cannot be good in the strength and the beauty that he is good, now he needs the voice is a necessary step. If it does not mean that I think marriage should be dissolved at the will or the guilt or the wish of anyone who feels, I still can be very strongly affirmed when a man stands before God and they say, well, yes, you are God. But this is what is in fact, and this is what is not. It's not just what Jesus was saying to you. joined together. Let not man put asunder two brothers treasures of righteousness. He was living unsaid and offered a lot of strength and resisted to miserable. Because he was one to stand in the place of the Pharisees and say, well, you get a divorce now if you don't come home at 5 o'clock. Or you get a divorce if you burn the skirt on your hindhead. Or you get a divorce if you burn the toast that doesn't have supper on time. Jesus didn't want to do it. He said it before them and he said, this is the way of peace. Let not man put a son. But he was also helping the people at the point where they were and showing them the mercy and the compassion that Almighty God has. This, I believe, is what we need to do today. We need to lift up the sanctity of marriage and not make it a travesty as a fear in some parts of our nation and perhaps in this community as well. It is not to be altered just by name and taken lightly. It is a very serious thing before Almighty God. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. For those things shall be one flesh. So then there are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that if we go through these words, we would, you have given us the steps and the guidelines for all of life. We realize that the created man and the female to live together as husband and wife. This too often we can take for granted by desires that are conflicting with your will in their lives. Father, we would ask to keep this heart with compassion and with understanding. To help people, through their marriages, to help them in whatever area of life they can see. To keep them in whatever given situation they find themselves. To be this death a strength and comfort. Father, we would ask that you would roll the spirit in the hearts and lives of future times. May we take the vow to do that very seriously and realize that we do these things in your sight. May this day, Father, your love, your comfort, your strength to those who are afflicted and suffering in heart and mind. We ask this, Father, in the name of your Son. With our interrupted prayer saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our faith, and we will give our faith. And give us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Amen. Thank you.